Housing Finance and Policy Division will come to order. I'd like to announce that this meeting will take place via House Rule 10.01. And before we get started, the clerk will take the roll to note who is present.
All right, Houseman?
Here, present.
Howard? Tice?
Here.
Bierman?
Present.
Fisher? He is here, he's muted.
He's here, but muted.
Gunther? It says Gunther is here as well, I can check back. Hassan?
Yep, here.
Okay. And then Hassan? Hurt?
Here.
Hornstein? He checked in.
Here.
Johnson?
Present.
Juergens?
Here.
Munson?
Munson's present.
Pearson?
Here.
Poppy?
Present.
And then Suck.
Yep.
And then Howard, I see you logged in as well. So we are good.
Quorum is present.
Yes.
Next for consideration is approval of the minutes from Wednesday, April 22. Representative Howard, have you had a chance to review the minutes? You are muted, Representative Howard.
I have, Madam Chair, and I move the minutes.
Representative Howard moves approval of the minutes. Are there any other corrections to that? We can voice vote approval of the minutes, so members, if you please unmute yourselves. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, aye. Nay. Motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. And now we'll move on to the agenda. We have two bills on the agenda today. And committee members, you can use the raise hand function on Zoom, or if you're calling in, you can raise your hand by pressing *9 on your phone to be put on the list. And Mr. Wirth, I'm assuming either you or Mr. Wilcox I don't see that function on mine right now, but you'll alert me if somebody has a question. The first bill up is House File 9. I will move House File 9. To get that before us. Members, you may recall last year we had a group come before us. They were housing advocates who wanted to get the money out the door as quickly as possible, and so they wanted to establish a time frame by which this money would be moved. And then this year, of course, COVID happened, the pandemic happened. And for several of these projects, they can't get the money out the door fast enough. So House File 9 has an extension provided. It's a one-time extension that just gets us through this, gives these projects a little more time. And that is the point of House File 9. We have Ann Navity from the Minnesota Housing Partnership here if there are questions about this extension. That bill is before us. Questions? Mr. Wirth or Mr. Wilcox, if you are tracking, let me know if there are any hands raised.
Yes, Madam Chair. I don't see anybody with their hand raised at this time.
I would just ask Ms. Mavity if you have anything you want to add to this.
I would only say thank you. Sorry about that. I would only say thank you so much for the consideration of this bill, and that while several of the projects are moving toward closing and trying desperately to close by that early July deadline, there are at least 500 units that are unlikely to close in time that we would otherwise lose. So I appreciate the committee's action today.
So we've got some urgency around this one. So no questions, and this one, I think, Mr. Wilcox, I believe you will have to take the roll.
We do have one question, Madam Chair, from Representative Munson.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess then nobody's going to ask the question. I just would like to understand some of the reasons why there were delays. I mean, it may seem obvious a lot of things have slowed down during this COVID crisis, but if she could just speak to some of the delays that she's experiencing and why the money wasn't able to go out the door, if it was lenders or contractors or what, but I'd be interested to hear the reasoning. Thanks.
Okay, Ms. Mappity.
Yes, thank you so much for the question, Representative and Chair. So I would say that the a number of reasons have occurred, and that is correct, Representative, that many of these are COVID-related. For many of them, for example, inspections are needed on the properties that have been delayed because of the inability of some of the inspectors to get in, the additional protocols for example, on some of the preservation projects, wanting to make sure that projects where there are families and households in place are there, that they are safe during the construction and relocating, and all of that has slowed down. And a number of required IRS hearings have been delayed as well and not been held because of COVID. So again, some of those, now that we are all learning how to work in this environment, some of those are attempting to move forward. And if everything went well, each of the developers are trying desperately to meet this deadline, but it would be a shame with all this work to literally just miss this technical deadline through no fault of their own, really, because of this environment. And that's why we are asking for a one-time exception to add additional time to ensure that these can be closed.
Representative Munson, follow-up?
No, Madam Chair, thank you very much for the explanation, Ms. Mappity.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, I will renew my motion that House File 9 be referred to the General Register. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Howard?
Aye.
Tice?
Aye.
Bierman?
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Gunther? Gunther?
Aye.
Thank you. Hassan? Hassan? Her?
Aye.
Hornstein?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Juergens?
Juergens votes aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Pearson?
Aye.
Poppy? Poppy? And Salk?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go back one time. Poppy, I saw you're unmuted. I did not catch anything from you.
And Poppy then Representative.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then Representative Hassan? All right, the total vote is 14 ayes and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
There being 14 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and House File 9 is referred to the General Register. We now have House File 82 before us. Representative Hassan. Is she on?
I do not believe so at this point.
Oh, dear.
All
Do we, Mr. Werther, can we try a phone call? She's the rest of our agenda.
Yes, I'm trying to track her down now. If everybody can just hang tight for a minute, we'll try to call her.
Members, while we're waiting for her, I will just note that on this particular bill, Mr. Werth sent you the documents for the committee. We have letters from Minnesota Multi-Housing. They point out this was a very sudden bill, less than a day that they had to provide meaningful public comment. And Minnesota Realtors said the same thing. The timing issue made it very difficult for them to respond, and a letter from Legal Aid. So you have three documents, Minnesota Multi-Housing, Minnesota Realtors, and Legal Aid, all of who are commenting on the bill. This was a package put together very quickly, almost over the weekend. I believe the idea is that Representative Winkler will ultimately be the author, but it was to respond to some of the issues in Minneapolis and St. Paul around the civil, some of the damage and the rebuilding efforts. So it did come together very last minute. Well, this is strange. We don't have our author. Do we have anyone, is anyone on the line prepared to substitute for her, or any testifiers for this bill?
Madam Chair?
Representative Howard?
Just a thought, perhaps a nonpartisan House Research could just walk through the bill for
us. And are they on? Do we have nonpartisan research? Who is involved?
Yeah, Chair and members, this is Mary Mullen from House Research.
Welcome.
The bill you're looking at today, let me make sure I have the right one up.
This is House File 82?
Yes. House File 82. Number of bills I've been working on. You have to give me just a minute. Chair and members, this is a bill that Representative Hassan is authoring that caps the rent for commercial and residential properties that are eligible to receive state funding. The state funding definition uses definitions from some of the other bills that are in this package, in case they don't look familiar, and it relates to state funding that will go to damaged buildings during the civil unrest that occurred in May and June of 2020. The bill then limits the rent for those properties to an average of the rent in the first quarter of 2020, or to the last annual rent payment made before March. It then allows the rent to be increased annually after that based on the national urban inflation rate, which is a common inflation rate that's used in Minnesota statute. It allows residential tenants to use some of the remedies under Chapter 504B, the landlord-tenant statutes, and it affects new or renewed leases after July 1 of this year, and it expires on April 1st of 2024.
Mr. Wirth, any contact yet with the author?
I was just informed that she's having difficulty logging on. One possible solution is that Representative Herr and Representative Hornstein are co-authors on the bill, so they could sit in to make the motion for approval if necessary. We're still trying to get her on.
And I don't know if we have either Representative Hornstein or Representative Herr.
This is Representative Hausman. Can you hear me? This is Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
I would move House File 82.
Okay, Representative Hornstein moves House File 82. And this
I
would
think
be.
We're going to the General Register, correct?
This one goes to the Committee on Ways and Means. My understanding is that these are all pieces of a bill that that will go to Ways and Means, and then in Ways and Means they would be rolled into a larger bill, so this won't travel separately.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move House File 82 for referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
On Ways and Means. Questions, and I know nothing about this bill, so if there are questions, it will have to be the nonpartisan research. Questions?
Representative Munson has a question.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess to our nonpartisan staff, I know there's been questions about how state and federal dollars can go to directly to private businesses, but if a business receives funding from the state to rebuild, and this bill appears to cap the rent at whatever it was before the building was burned down or damaged. The question I have, does it also cap rent after the time of sale if the property is sold in the next 4 years? Does that carry over to the next owners, or is an agreement with the existing owner on how that can be capped? And then secondly, does it also impact the taxes? Does it cap the taxes? If I'm a business and I'm getting, $20,000 a month for rent, but I'm only paying, $2,000 a month in taxes, and I rebuild, and the tax assessor comes in and charges me $5,000 a month in taxes now because the building is worth $8 million or whatever it's rebuilt at, you're saying I can't raise the rent to cover the new taxes unless the taxes are also capped in this legislation. Could you speak to that?
Ms. Mullen?
Chair and members, the first question is about whether or not this follows something that's sold. Because the bill does not indicate current owner, past owner, anything like that, it would affect any property. So it doesn't matter who the owner is or if the building is sold. And the second question is about taxes. I don't work on the tax committee. There are a number of portions of the larger package that's going to be heard in Ways and Means tomorrow that involve property taxes and tax relief, but I am unfortunately not familiar with those portions of the bill. But we could have someone from taxes contact you, or also those bills are, I think, posted already for the Ways and Means committee.
Ms. Mullen, the idea of this bill was to be short term. Is it not drafted in such a way that it limits to a short term?
Chair and members, the bill is limited to. I mean, the bill lasts until April 1, 2024.
Got it. I did receive one other letter from a gentleman in Minneapolis who is retired and used to work in this area, and I've passed that on to both the author and Representative Winkler with some, just in the way it's drafted. It was drafted rather quickly, I think, and the technical nature.
Madam Chair, that's me, Representative Hassan. I apologize.
She's on. Our author is on.
Yes. I have just like a morning of just tech issues. I apologize. I'm finally able to call in.
So we have moved your bill, and we've begun. Ms. Mullen did a description of the content, and so and we have one question. Other questions at this point, or Representative Hassan, if you'd like to make some comments.
Sure, Madam Chair, members. I am really sorry that I was unable to present my own bill. That's the world we live in. I just want to share with you a statement that I prepared and the reason for this bill, so people can have an idea of the reason we are trying to move this legislation. 2020 has been a heck of a year. Thus far, we witnessed a pandemic that closed our malls, restaurants, shops, gyms, and everything else, followed by the unjust murder of George Floyd in the hands of Minneapolis police, and then the civil unrest that burned down many small businesses in our cultural corridors, Lake Street, University Avenue, West Broadway, and other spaces. This impacted businesses were predominantly owned by Black and Brown folks who had a tough year because of COVID-19. I have the privilege and honor of representing District 62A and Lake Street, which sustained a lot of damages from fire, water, or other forms of destruction, happens to be in the heart of my district. This was a sad and traumatic for many in my community as they grapple and find a way to comprehend everything that took place in the last few weeks. I must highlight the root cause of the civil unrest, which was not only about one man being killed by the police. The civil unrest was about and is about economic injustice, social injustice, and racial injustice that has been happening for over 400 years. Black, indigenous, and people of color in this country have been faced with systemic oppression that's as old as America itself. We were caught in the midst of two pandemics, COVID-19 and racial inequities that left many people in Black, indigenous, and people of color communities behind. Nonetheless, many of you visited my district, and I wanna say thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming and seeing it for yourself. I'm talking to people who have lost everything. We're talking about people who have been building and investing in businesses for over 27 years, to people who just opened their doors right before COVID-19 started. During the last few weeks, we had listening sessions with our community members and heard from voices what rebuilding looks like. There has been a lot of concerns about gentrification and displacement. Everyone is worried about newer buildings being built, which means higher rent, which means they can't afford and they have to leave Lake Street, University Avenue, West Broadway. And that's the reason why House File 82 was created. This is a short-term help. We want to make sure that people stay where they are. And Lake Street and West Broadway, University Avenue, and other spaces come back to the way they were and even better. The thing about Lake Street being cultural corridor is that people can't just, you know, move and go somewhere else. They can't open a shop in Edina because of the proximity to the people that they are trying to serve. People that are linked to mostly are predominantly Hispanic and African, and the people that buy their purchases and goods are Hispanic and East Africans in South Minneapolis. So the idea of, you know, gentrifying Lake Street terrifies not only our community, but also terrifies us as leaders who represent that district. And this bill is supposed to keep people in Lake Street, in West Broadway, and in University Avenue. And what it will do is it caps the rent and make sure people are, you know, even with newer buildings, people are not going to pay tons of thousands of dollars and are not displaced. And then we're not going to have Starbucks and Trader Joe's. Not that I'm against Starbucks and Trader Joe's, but we want to keep this spaces, the cultural corridor they are, and the strength of this spaces are our diversity. And I stand for questions.
Okay, thank you. It is a sort of a work in progress. It's a relatively quickly drafted over over the weekend, some of us were seeing it for the first time. There was one question, and I would maybe just ask Representative Munson to repeat that so that you're aware of the question we discussed earlier. Representative Munson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hassan. My concerns are around the restrictions that are being put on the businesses for choosing tenants maybe new tenants, maybe existing tenants. But the first one is if a building is rebuilt, let's say it was burned down or destroyed, and it's being rebuilt, my concern is around the new tax assessment that we place on a building. If it was previously a $100,000 value building and now is a, you know, $4 million value building, that the new tax assessments that would hit next year would be such a significant increase that the business wouldn't, the property owner wouldn't be able to stay afloat based on the old rent that was there. So you're really capping that. You're restricting maybe it was a warehouse and now they're going to be building a restaurant there, completely different property type, and it shouldn't be restricted to what the old rent was. If you want to bring in new businesses and revitalize the area. Another, just want to very quickly clarify in the bill, it's not only putting restrictions on business or property owners that receive state funds, but it specifically says only if it says they receive or qualify to receive money. So if a business chooses not to receive money, are these restrictions also placed on the property owner?
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Munson. Hello?
Yep. I hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Munson. That's a very good question. Representative Munson, I'll tell you this. This bill is brand new and it's put together recently. I'm more than happy to work with you and others to make sure that, first of all, we don't want our building owners to leave Lake Street. We still want them to stay, and we don't want the tenants, the business, small business owners also to leave Lake Street. So we are more than happy to find a way to work with our building owners as well as our tenants who are the small business owners to make sure that Lake Street is revitalized, but revitalized in a way that still shows the diversity of Lake Street, because that's the strength of Lake Street. I'm open to suggestions and comments. We can talk offline.
And I think this parts of this bill are going to seven different committees this week, one of which is the tax committee. We were supposed to deal today with the leases portion of it. It sounds, Representative Hassan, as though you are you're taking some of these questions and pursuing them with the other
Absolutely,
authors.
Madam Chair.
Representative Salk has a question.
It might turn into more of a comment rather than a question, although it could be thought of as a question. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that, and this has happened before in the world of real estate and property values, and that is when somebody tries to change the market forces and to try to have those market forces perform in a way that they have not ever in history. So I'm concerned on this as if we could think of these buildings as a thing that functions, and it functions in two ways for society. One is it provides space and it provides cash flow. Those are the two functions of this building. And so that building then needs to be able to make those things. Like it's producing something, like a factory. It's producing space and it's producing cash flow. In the production of cash flow, it has to have income and then expense. And those things have to function. Otherwise, the building itself, and I can tell you this from my background, is that the developer, I guess one of the, it's a joke in the industry is how silly do you have to be an investor who will invest in something that is proven that it's not going to make money. And that is my concern here, is we are proposing that we are going to have these buildings. I'm actually afraid that there won't be any buildings. We will have a structure that we will be fairly happy with, and we think we've covered all the appropriate things, but there won't be any buildings. because in order to have a building and somebody to build it, you must have a structure by which the ownership of that building makes some sense to somebody. And that's my concern, is that I'm not certain that I see that happening here. And so I want us to make sure that we don't build a fantasy because we want it and because the public wants it. And I would say even so much as the investors and the owners want that to be true. But I don't know how this, which is the rent issue, I'm trying to stay focused on that, that's what we're talking about, is right. This issue of rent that cannot change over a period of the beginning of that building's life. So if that building, building it, owning it, making it function, creates zero expense, then that could then be a fantasy that can go forward. I just can't imagine that being true. We know there will be some expenses. I think on a probably an investment where a building is at least brought from the remnants into function, there's a lot of money that has been put in place, and I'm not so certain who the bank is that's delivering this money. I don't see it in the bill, which would be another way of a sort of working this cash flow problem, is that the bill might provide the money for the beginning of the building to function so that the market can then be built. And once you build a market, you pull back those incentives so that the market can take over. And so I'm just, that's my ability. It's the best I can do to share how I see concerns in this particular function. It has almost nothing to do with the fact that we want these buildings to exist and that we want a good place for somebody to do business. It's just that, can we create them? My fear is we'll create the dream or the assurance that these are intended to be there, and there won't be anything. So I'll leave that then to the discussion of people wiser than me.
And I think you've outlined some of the complexity. We have, as I said, there are parts of this bill going to seven different committees. We were looking at particularly leases for housing, but there are tax implications that are being dealt with in the tax committee. It's a work in progress. I think we're wanting to respond to the community at this time of civil unrest, and that's the context in which we're bringing it. Do we have other questions or comments?
Yes, Madam Chair. We have Representative Hornstein with the next
Representative
question.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Representative Hassan for this bill. And to some of the points that Representative Salk and others have raised, you have to look at this bill in a broader context of several other initiatives that will be introduced and or have been introduced and are moving through the process, you know, all with the goal of revitalizing the corridors that Representative Hassan has talked about. And there is very strong concerns, I've heard them as well, that the redevelopment will displace these immigrants and Black, Indigenous, and people of color owned businesses that have existed there and have been very vital to this community and our community for many, many years. And so that is really the most important part of this whole package, that the revitalization takes place in a way that there is equity and people can return to these thriving businesses. And it's not a theoretical thing. There are already reports of land speculation potentially and outside investors and others that are coming in, I think, to make a quick buck here. And that is exactly what we don't want. And so this bill, in conjunction with other bills that have been introduced, really are geared towards preserving and protecting those small businesses that have thrived for many years in these areas. So I think that's a really important consideration as we move forward. And I, again, thank you so much, Representative Hassan, for this bill.
Other questions?
Next on the list is Representative Johnson.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Osmond, members, Representative Zott, I understand what you're trying to do with this bill. And are you trying to do what you feel is proper for your neighborhoods, your constituents that are suffering from the effects of riots from a lot of people that don't live in your community, and they did a lot of damage in your community. In fact, one person was arrested in Colorado today for the firebombing and the arson of the police department. He was from Brainerd, Minnesota. But I have concerns on this. I want your neighborhood and your businesses to thrive and rebuild and just go gangbusters. But I have a feeling this is going to have the reverse effect of that. This is going to stall things. We already heard a bill yesterday in judiciary for the city trying to be able to do more eminent domain to take the property from the owner. We also have concerns with that. A lot of these businesses and these buildings are, whether they're housing or business, commercial, warehousing, they have a lot of them are insured, but they have, in order to collect that insurance, they have to rebuild. If they don't rebuild, they don't collect on the insurance. That's written in a lot of commercial property insurance policies. So that people at failing businesses just don't burn it down to collect the insurance money. It's intentionally there. But now with these were a lot of them were older buildings that were built under different regulations. Now with the new building, there's new regulations, much higher cost. And by capping the rent at the old level before this new building, which it's going to cost a lot more. The value is going to be a lot greater. Their taxes are going to be a lot greater. You're putting the owners of the property into a position where they cannot afford to build. It's something called return on investment. If the return on investment is at a certain mark, banks won't even loan money to rebuild. So we got to be careful how we do things to make sure that your neighborhoods and those communities can rebuild. Something like this might actually do the adverse effect and cause it not to be rebuilt. Thank you, members.
Either Representative Hassan response to that or other observations and questions from committee members.
Madam Chair, if I can respond to that.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Johnson. I want to highlight one thing here. We want to rebuild our communities. We want to rebuild these cultural corridors. We want to work with our real estate owners. We want to work with our small business owners. We want to find a way to rebuild, revitalize, and make sure that these cultural corridors are the cultural corridors that they are and even better than what they were. So I hope people are not mistaken that we are trying to scare away real estate owners, or we're trying to put roadblocks so they can't build. That's not the intent here. The intent here is that we build better than what these cultural corridors were, and B, that we make sure that the previous tenants stay. Well, if they choose, they stay, and they're not being displaced because we have a fancier building. And C is a way to find to work all of us together. And like I said in the beginning, I'm open to ideas, options. I can talk offline, but I want to make sure that I look my community in the eye and said that they will not be displaced and that Lake Street will not be gentrified. And I want to deliver that. So I will find a way to work with real estate owners, to work with the city, to work with the state and other stakeholders to be sure that's what we're doing here. Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
We have a question from Representative Tice.
Representative Tice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to reiterate a little bit about what we're hearing. I think Representative Hassan, if you can find a way to contact some of these folks that own these buildings and just say, what can we do to make it worth your while and to keep it as low cost as possible? Obviously, just the rebuilding part of it is going to be more expensive, and how do we work with rent controls on that part of it? I think that we have to be very innovative and out of the box, but I do agree with Representative Sock. It's going to be really hard to do this, and I'm afraid that we're going to probably stagnate some of the rebuilding until after April 1st, 2024. If it's not worth it to do it, people just won't do it, and they won't rebuild the buildings. I think we have to be very cognizant of it's a very unique situation and how do we do it. But I would say getting a lot of these owners together and getting their input in it and letting them know what your mission is and involving them will probably be extremely helpful to everyone, the community, to the city, everybody. So that would be my suggestion. I do think there's going to be a lot of challenges going forward with something like this. You need to have the buy-in from the owners, and you need to figure out what that means. So with that, that's my 2 cents worth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Tice. Representative Juergens has the cutest baby on his lap. This is the wonderful thing about these Zoom meetings. We get a little sense of family, the extended family. Anyway, yes, we're enjoying yes. that.
Cute Thank little you, baby Madam Chair. Yes, I have twin grandbabies, and this is Walker with me.
Representative Hassan, any responses to Representative Tice?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Tice, and thank you for making the trip to come down to see Lake Street. My community and I greatly appreciate your presence on that day on the tour. Yes, we are willing to work with all the stakeholders. I don't think we can force people on some legislation that we crafted in St. Paul and just say, you know what, take it or leave it. I don't think that's how we are planning to work. We're trying to work with the building owners. We're trying to work with the community. We're trying to find a balance on what we're trying to create. We want to make sure that people rebuild because there's a profit for rebuilding. I don't think anybody's going to rebuild if there's no profit. And then we also want to make sure when we rebuild that we're also intentional about the tenants on those buildings. And if that takes, you know, a lot of creativity and innovations and working with all stakeholders and all hands on deck, we're planning that. This is the beginning stages, and we will work with everyone, and hopefully we can put together something that is as productive as we're hoping. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Is that Chair, please?
Yes. I just want to say that know that I'm watching this very carefully because the last three nights here in St. Cloud, we have had some things going on. And so if this is going to be something that happens, there's going to be a lot of communities watching this going forward. So I want to make sure that, you know, we are very intentional about what we're doing. We don't know who's going to be next.
We have to get this right, don't we? Mr. Worth, do we have any other?
Next question is Representative Fisher and then Representative Bierman after that.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee. Representative Hassan, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think it's real important to move this conversation along. I've had the opportunity to see and talk to some of the business owners in Minneapolis. This past weekend, I had a chance to listen to a lot of the small businesses who want to reopen on the university area in St. Paul. And a lot of the concerns that they were having is they were in buildings that were largely repairable, that did not have to be raised and rebuilt. And they were concerned about the fact that they weren't sure if their business owner was even, that the landlord was even going to rebuild it in terms of repair the building and allow them to continue with the rates they had going forward. These are people who wanted to continue to operate. Currently, the areas where their businesses are were fenced off because the landlords were not making decisions yet to what was happening, not letting these folks back into the buildings and into the businesses where the business buildings were still safe in some of these areas. And I think this kind of gets to the larger question of the gentrification that might be trying to occur. Is some building holders are looking at this as an opportunity to force out, I think, to force out some of the people that are currently there. And when they repair it in such a way that the building is still there, but they're deciding this is the opportunity to get out the old people and then I can get some new businesses in. And what it does is it displaces immigrant communities, basically small business owners who are of color, and forces them out into not being able to continue on in their businesses. And I think this is what the heart of the bill is trying to make sure it occurs. And I applaud your efforts on it. I also appreciate the input from Representative Munson, and I know that you're going to take a look at is how to address the property taxes. If there's a way to put a kind of a cap of how much that can increase each year, maybe working out of like a TIF model or something like that, saying if they do that, they will keep it capped for a certain amount of time. So I want to thank you for bringing the bill forward to let you know that there are a number of businesses, small business people who want to restart in St. Paul on University who, if the buildings are repaired, could get right back in there, who can really use that benefit to make sure this would allow them to continue to operate for years to come. So thank you for that.
Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank everybody who's commented. I think this bill is at its beginning stage, and I think we've heard from a lot of folks who understand what we're up against with this community rebuilding on such short notice. It's like everything else we've been dealing with in this year between distance learning and COVID. You know, sometimes we have to adapt and we have to take input from many sides. And so I think a lot of the comments are spot on. We're dealing with a market that certainly needs to be acknowledged. It's the way we thrive in a lot of ways. And I really appreciated Representative Salk's comments about that overall picture. But I also believe that sometimes when we are working for a goal and we know what we want to give people who call this home the opportunity to rebuild and to have that chance. And obviously this bill isn't perfect out of the box where it's going to solve those problems. So it's going to be a work in progress and there's a lot of work to do. But I appreciate Representative Hassan for bringing the bill forward and providing the chance for people who want to stay and want to rebuild where they've worked and lived and love Minneapolis and they want to stay right where they are. And these obstacles, you know, it's just really about creating what we want. And I think that we can work within that when we reach out and listen to folks and figure out new ways to do things so that we can achieve the desired goal. So I appreciate Representative Hassan for bringing the bill forward. It's nowhere near completion, but I'm going to vote in favor of it to give it a chance so that we can move it forward into all these committees and make sure we get the best bill possible and the best outcome for the folks in the neighborhoods who were suddenly faced with life-changing events out of their control. So thank you to the author for bringing it forward.
Representative Salk, I think I saw your hand again. Representative Salk.
Thank you. I had to get my buttons pressed. I also want to underline, because in my first kind of description, I was using the bill to focus on the idea of managed income as opposed to managed expenses, which are not part of this bill, particularly right here. But in almost every large development project where you have sources of money that may come from more than one place, and we've got a sort of a really good, monstrous example here in Rochester, where we have multiple entities who are providing asset guarantee, and we have multiple entities that are dealing with the expense flow. So for instance, some of you have mentioned these, and I just want to bring them to the focus so that the discussion is actually using all of these different tools rather than just one tool. And I understand that I'm just going to ignore the fact that that we're supposed to discipline ourselves to the rent issue. But if we go to the issue of TIF, which I think Representative Fisher brought it up, that's a big deal for an investment to be able to survive in the market, is how does the TIF roll out? How does it become an asset to that property? And therefore, it becomes an asset to the ability of the tenant to be able to pay. So you've got a number of areas there. You also have city utilities that can be managed or waived in all kinds of different ways. So there are a number of tools that can be looked at as ways of managing the concern for a crisis set of expenses that might weigh on the business that's there or the investor that's there. So I guess I just want to make sure those things are also included. Now, I know that your counsel to me is that, you know, we've got multiple committees that are going to look at it. Well, I'm not hearing those committees. I don't know. Right. So I want to get this noise into the stream of the discussion so that I can at least be confident and rest in peace that these items have been brought up.
It is unusual to have we know that there's a larger bill out there and this is a piece of it. So Mr. Wirth, do we have others on the list?
I have no other questions.
Okay. Representative Hassan, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you everyone for the wonderful discussion. This bill is at the beginning stage. There's no perfect bill. And what happened in the Twin Cities and surrounding suburbs is something extraordinary, like the likes of something we have never seen. And some of you saw the devastation on these cultural corridors and have talked to people who have lost everything. And what we are doing here is to, you know, knock at every door and find solutions. And the last thing we want to do is, have empty spaces on this cultural corridors where real estate, developers and owners decide not to rebuild. That's not the intent here. The intent here is how do we rebuild, but make sure that, our community is not gentrified and displaced. It's imperative we take action immediately to support and rebuild our wounded communities. We must be intentional about rebuilding. And this act will support our communities in an equitable and holistic way so we can rebuild for and by the community. These commercial hubs are the lifeblood of our minority immigrant communities. By rebuilding with intentional focus on equity and community, we can afford the devastating effects of gentrification. And I'm open to work with anybody in this committee or anyone else who's interested to put together something that works for all stakeholders. We'll work with our, building owners, we'll work with our tenants and business owners and make sure that we build cultural hubs that are better than what it was before, but not gentrified and displaced the business owners that were there before. Thank you.
Thank you all for your comments. We sort of acknowledge this is a work in progress, sort of an unusual approach. But at this point, Representative Hornstein renews his motion that House File 82 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. The clerk will take the roll. All
right. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Representative Howard?
Aye.
Representative Tice?
Sorry, it took me a moment to get unmuted.
Oh, no worries. Representative?
No.
Representative Bierman?
Aye.
Representative Fisher?
Aye.
Representative Gunther?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Juergens?
No.
Representative Munson?
No.
Representative Pearson?
No.
Representative Poppy?
Poppy votes aye.
And Representative Salk?
Yes.
The vote for that would be 10 ayes and 5 nays.
There being 10 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails, and the bill is as of, no, we did not add any amendment, is referred to Ways and Means. There being no other business before the committee, we are adjourned. Thank you, members.